After a hard year of work, most of us can't wait to get off on a long-awaited and surely well-deserved vacation. But when you're sunbathing on a tropical beach or wining and dining under the stars, the last thing you think about is how your holiday may be affecting the local population. Well, the Catholic Church traditionally sets aside September 27th every year to raise awareness about the positive and the negative effects of tourism on local populations. The Pope has drafted a special message for this Wednesday's World Tourism Day, which we'll be bringing to you then. But in a statement for last year's events, Pope Benedict XVI said, "Tourism should be accompanied by respect for the local people and culture. It should also help promote dialogue and understanding between peoples." What most of us don't think about on holiday is how our vacation may be contributing to or actually causing poverty in the places we're visiting. Communities in developing nations often find that tourism is imposed on them by governments, foreign developers, and tourism businesses without any consideration for the benefit of the local people. But some lobby groups are campaigning to raise awareness about the negative impacts of tourism. Susie Hodges tells us how.
How can tourism be improved so that the local community benefits from the presence of holidaymakers to their area? That's the aim of Tourism Concern, an association that is campaigning for fair and ethically traded tourism. It says the trend in tourism is towards greater control by multinationals, more all-inclusive tourism, which excludes local people and businesses, and greater numbers. Patricia Barnett is director of Tourism Concern, and she welcomes Pope Benedict's call for greater respect and solidarity for local people in tourist areas.
I feel that papal messages very often on World Tourism Day are stunningly impressive with their real respect for the needs of local people. And I think we as tourists, when we go on holiday, can do lots and lots of things which enable local people to feel pleased that we're there and to benefit from our presence. So, for example, only too often bargaining becomes a matter of sort of life and death for us as tourists, as we haggle over a euro which might perhaps provide a family with a meal for a day, and that euro might be part of the cost we want to pay for some beautiful craft or artwork that we want to buy that is already very cheap. We haggle over taxi fares. We fight over tiny amounts which are inconsequential to us. We have a feeling that local people are trying to rip us off, they're trying to cheat us, which is often really, really not true. They're just wanting a fair price. So I think you respect locals. You might want to bargain, but you do it with respect. That's a really good first start. A second thing is how we dress. You know, we often go to countries where local women would never allow themselves to be seen semi-naked in public. And often it only takes a sarong or a wrap to put around ourselves when we leave the beach to make us quite respectable and respectful of local wishes.
You say that tourism often causes or exacerbates poverty. In what areas and in what ways has this happened?
Regrettably, when we travel abroad from Europe, especially to third world countries and third world destinations, which are increasingly becoming more available to us, we buy our ticket and the package for our holiday in the country that we're living in. And very, very often, that money stays with that country, and only too often, the airline is owned by that country. So if I'm coming from the UK, where Tourism Concern is based, up to 90% of the package money that I'm buying for my holiday will stay here, and perhaps only 10% will arrive in the destination.
So what are the main negative impacts of tourism on local communities?
The negative impacts of tourism are sort of what's known as the triple bottom line. They're environmental, they're economic, and they're social. So very often when we go on holiday, we take our own cultures with us. And we get quite upset if we're booking into a hotel and the hotel doesn't respond to our needs. So, for example, if we're Dutch, we might go to a hotel and very much expect to be eating pork and red cabbage and potatoes in a country that is Islamic, that doesn't grow potatoes and doesn't know what red cabbage is. But we're going to get them because that food will be imported in. That's part of why people are maintained in poverty. So people are told that they'll get wealthy from tourism, but very often, as many of us have experienced, when we go to a particularly poor country where mass tourism is prevalent, people harass us for a response to their needs for our money. So we're asked if we need guides and if we need taxes, and very often, of course, we see prostitution quite blatantly all around us. So people don't access the money. Their cultures are impacted upon. They don't get the funding. And very often their environments are despoiled horribly by developments which, for example, aren't tied into sewage and waste disposal.
Do you think that the public at large has too little awareness of these negative impacts?
I think people are becoming increasingly aware. When Tourism Concerns started 15 years ago, we were talking into a complete vacuum. But I think many, many people now are very conscious of the poverty of the countries that they're visiting and our relative wealth. The trouble is about what do you do about it? How do you manage that? How can you have a good, relaxing, enjoyable holiday with that consciousness in mind? So, yes, I think people are much more aware than they were.
But how can people then, choose a holiday on the basis of concerns like those you're highlighting? How can they sort of ensure that the local community benefits from their presence as tourists?
There are various ways. Certainly you can choose to go on a holiday, and we've got a whole guidebook on it, a holiday where you can stay with local communities or where local communities are involved with a commercial operator so that they genuinely get benefit from our holidays, because tourism can be a wonderful development tool to get people out of poverty. And the second thing is, if you don't want that sort of a holiday, which is often can be quite luxurious as well as very basic, all sorts of holidays, you can stay with local communities all over the world. We've got at least 60 countries where local people have taken control over their product, so to speak. But you can also ask your tour operator very basic questions like, where is the water coming from that I'm using in my hotel shower and in my hotel swimming pool? Is it coming from local supplies? Is there some equity somehow or other in the water? Is the food being bought locally or is it being imported? You can ask some basic questions.
Bonnet says many large tourist operators are still more concerned about their commercial interests than the provision of ethical tourism.
We've been trying to persuade the largest tour operators in Europe that they've really got to change practice. The tourism industry is running years behind other industries like extractive industries and production industries. This is a service industry, running years behind other industries in relation to their social responsibilities. And there is a shift. I'm delighted to say I think Tourism Concern has worked really, really hard. And there is a slight shift by some of the operators at the top, but the majority know they have no interest and resent any implication that they should change their way they work and their purchasing procedures. No, they don't like Tourism Concerns activities too much.
Can you give us a concrete example of how tourism can support local people, culture, environment and economies, some up-and-running project?
Well, in large-scale tour operations, not very many. In small-scale tour operators, the small and medium, yes, I can. I can tell you that the small and medium operators, who often have a passionate love affair with the destinations that they visit, really want to make sure that local people benefit from tourism. So as much as possible, the best operators will use local guides. They will stay in locally owned hotels. They will ensure that their guests are eating food that's bought from local suppliers. And this is a real start in what we call supply chain, in supply chain management. We're also very interested at Tourism Concern in not just how many people are employed by tourism, but we want to ensure that the people employed in tourism are paid a fair wage. And some operators are prepared to work with us and to do an audit, what we call an audit, of the workers in the hotels to make sure that everybody is getting a fair wage and are having fair working conditions, which is normally not the case. So there is change with the small and medium-sized operators. They want to keep the locals happy as well as their customers. When we go on holiday, we often behave differently than we might do at home. We want to be different. We want to separate ourselves away from our normal everyday lives. It's part of the reason why we go on holiday. And then we behave differently sometimes and put our ethics behind us. And that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate because we just want to drop everything. It's a psychological need we have.
And our thanks there to Patricia Barnett, director of the UK-based Tourism Concern. She was speaking to my colleague, Susie Hodges. And for more information about social responsibility in tourism, log on to Tourism Concern's website. You'll find it on www.tourismconcern.org.uk.